Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, and I'm delighted actually to link up with the men in government in Ireland who I've had the pleasure of knowing for more than 30 years indeed. As a matter of fact, even before he entered Dáil Éireann, I knew Jimmy Deanahan, who is the minister. He is now, friends, the minister for the diaspora. And first of all, let me welcome you, Jimmy Deanahan.
Thanks, Adrian. I would like to congratulate you as well. I understand you're 45 years in broadcasting, and you've made an amazing contribution to the Irish diaspora in New York and to the USA generally, and you must have an amazing archive built up of all the interviews you did with so many personalities over the years. But for your initiative, that archive would not be there now, and you have a very important record of interviews and commentary on Ireland and the connection with America, which is a very real and deep one, let me say. So I'm delighted to be on your show, and I've been on your show over the years several times, as you know.
Yes, wearing different hats. Indeed, in Irish government, it can be said that there's hardly a portfolio that you haven't had at one stage or another. Of course, for the arts, and your most recent before you were yanked to take on this new and significant role. We know, of course, your tremendous job with arts and culture, the Gaeltacht. And I know that that Kerry people in particular, but maybe among my listeners, one would say, are you going to mention, or are you not, that this man, you know, has more All-Ireland medals for football than anybody else around? Can we start I just wanted to get a grasp of you as a sports person. Very appropriate that we should talk about that a little bit because of the tremendous advance of Gaelic sports throughout the world. What was your own entree to that, Dan and Kerry?
Well, I was born into a Gaelic football family. My father, grandfather had all played Gaelic football with the club and not with the county. So the first thing I got as a present, now that you asked me the question, was a ball. Actually, my mother used to go with her parents to Killorgan to Puck Fair. It's a famous festival here in Ireland. And she brought me home a brown rubber ball, I remember. And I was about 3 years of age that time. And since then, really, my life has, I suppose, reverberated around the ball because it's still very much part of my life. I still have retained that interest in Gaelic football, but also in games in general. I'm a fanatic hurling supporter. I played hurling with the local club here, Lixna, who are county championships at the moment. And also I played rugby. I played rugby with a great team called Gary Owen. But I had to make up my mind when I was 20 whether to go the Gaelic football route or the rugby route. So being in Kerry, you're only one choice there. So I went the Gaelic football route, and I don't regret it because I was lucky. I was playing in a very good team. We won a number of All-Irelands. I was captain of the 4-in-a-row Kerry team. We made a large number of visits to New York over that period of time. I went to New York first in 1973 when I won a New York either championship or league with Kerry, which at the time was managed and more or less owned by the great John Kerry O'Donnell. And I remember beating Donegal in the final. And we had two Donegal men on our team, Brian McInniff and Paddy McShay, two very famous Donegal men on our team actually that day. So through that connection, actually, football connection with New York over the years, and it spanned a number of years, I made great connections there with a large number of people from all counties that had an interest in Gaelic football, and maybe some of the lads might go downtown to Manhattan and other places and go to the bars around the Bronx. But I was hung on in Gaelic Park to talk to some of these people, people that had been in America for 15, 60 years, and whether they were from Donegal or Kerry or any other county in Ireland, I always, you know, made sure to give them time and to listen to them and talk to them. And I developed a great connection with, I suppose, the diaspora and the people in New York. And when I did the same when I went to San Francisco or Chicago or Boston or L.A., I just developed a great respect for these people, and also a great realization that these people were still connected to the place where they came from. And physically they may be in New York, but psychologically and in the heart, they were still very much attached to where they came from. And when I was appointed to Minister for the Diaspora, I had been in arts, and I was, pursuing a very exciting program. I had to make cutbacks at the same time. I had to introduce rationalization of some of the cultural institutions. But at the same time, I was introducing many new innovations, which now are coming to fruition. Like, for example, the Bank of Ireland and College Green, for example. The bank agreed to give 900 square meters of the bank for a major exhibition area, which is going to be quite exciting. And I was very much involved in that negotiation. And the gallery here as well, which is next door to Parliament. There's been a huge refurbishment of the National Gallery, nearly 30 million. And I succeeded in getting that done at a time when there were cutbacks everywhere. So I had a huge program. So when I was told that I was being changed from Arts and Heritage in the Great Clift, obviously I was surprised and maybe disappointed. I wouldn't be human otherwise, but when I was told I had now the responsibility for the global Irish, the Irish diaspora, I was quite excited about the challenge because of my affection and genuine, I suppose, love of our diaspora and my admiration for the diaspora as well, and people like yourself who have given so much back to Ireland since you've left Ireland. And our diaspora has given a lot more back maybe than what they took with them. And because of our diaspora, Ireland has developed to what it is at the moment. And they're still contributing to our country. And when we went through a very challenging period since 2007 in this country, we reached out to our diaspora through the Global Irish Network, which resulted in the Global Irish Forum. And a large number of Irish people who are successful around the world encouraged companies to set up in Ireland, to expand in Ireland, linked Irish companies to companies in America, for example, and they played a major role in our recovery. And Adrian, we are recovering. Just a few years ago, unemployment was at 15.1%. Now it's just 10%, and it will be under 10% shortly. We are moving very swiftly towards full employment again, and hopefully that will be sustainable employment, and hopefully we'll have learned from the mistakes we made in the past. We can't become selfish again. We can't spend too much money on property. People will have to be contented with having one house and one car and be realistic about maybe taking two or three foreign holidays every year in some cases, not in every case, of course. So I think we will have learned from past mistakes. We won't repeat them. Ireland is in a good place going forward, definitely left with a legacy of debt that people shouldn't have inherited because of the whole bank collapse in Ireland. And
the growth in the economy would have, again, a lot to do with us in America, tourism, the image of Ireland, the gathering Ireland of 2013 that some of the naysayers thought would be a once-off, has in fact produced an increase, a sizable increase from North America each and every year. The sky is the limit. So Ireland has that tremendous attraction anyway, and that is in good times and in bad. Tourists, and particularly from North America, play a terrific role, you know, and are obviously very satisfied with visiting Ireland, because otherwise the numbers would not be increasing as they have.
Yeah, you're right, and last year was a record year of numbers from North America. I think it was 1.3 million. And actually, if the country can attract just over 100,000 extra tourists in 2015, it will be the best year on record.
Ever.
Mm. And ever. Like, the government last year developed a whole product along the western seaboard from Donegal down to Kinsale, and it's referred to as the Wild Atlantic Way, and it's attracting huge interest from all over the world, and especially America. So people start right up in Donegal, and they drive down, and it's signposted all of the way through Donegal, down into Sligo, into Mayo, into Galway, down into Clare, into Kerry, and into Cork. And you wouldn't go through, you wouldn't drive a final route in the whole world, let me say, with such diversity, both in landscape and seascape, but also in culture as well. And even if you listen to the Donegal Irish accent, for example, and then you come to Connemara, again, they have a different dialect there, speaking in Irish, and then you come to Kerry, and they have the Munster dialect there. So there's great diversity, and there are five national parks as well, one in Donegal, one in Mayo, then you have Connemara National Park, you have the Borden National Park, and you have Killarney National Park. So in itself, if you just came to Ireland now and did the Wild Atlantic Way, you'll get quite a unique experience. That really is not comparable in any other part of the world. There's no doubt about that.
And so, that's 1,500 miles of...
That's right, yeah.
The support, which amounts to a tremendous amount of money in funding the agencies. You referred there indeed to the Aisling Irish Centre, and even in New York alone, the Emerald Isle Immigration Centre, the New York Irish Centre, and right across the United States, the Irish government has actually put up the money and has not subjected the government support, even during the austerity and the times when it must have really hurt, but the support has been there, and it's extraordinarily well used and most welcome.
Well, it is, and Adrian, you were there at the beginning, actually, when the Minister for Foreign Affairs back in 2002 set up a committee to examine supports for immigrants, and out of that came the Irish Abroad unit in the Department of Foreign Affairs, and also the Immigrant Support Programme. And since then, since 2004, the Irish government has spent about $137 million on welfare across the world, possibly about maybe $35 million in America. I know last year I contributed something like $2.2 million to projects for diaspora welfare right across America. New York would be the prime beneficiary because there's a higher concentration of Irish people, obviously, in New York. And also this year I was delighted to be able to give Shannon Gale's very good local club there in New York, doing really important work with young people. I was delighted to give them $300,000, actually, and that would really help their development. And,
very much so.
I had to justify it back here in Ireland. Obviously, people were saying, God, why didn't you give us the pictures even in your own county? But this came from the Immigrant Support Programme, and what better way to support the Irish diaspora in New York than to support Gaelic Games and activities that they're pursuing. And I've met some of these young people from my own town. They're the Codden family, Richie and Robert. They'd be very well known. But But I've met their children now, and it's as if they were born back in the Stowell, and they were born in New York because of that connection, because of the pride they had, or they have, in Gaelic football and that connection with Ireland. So I was delighted to be able to give them good funding, and also I was delighted to be able to provide funding as well for the Irish Arts Centre. The Irish Arts Centre is going to be a very exciting project. It's going to be a shop window for Irish artists, visual or performing artists over the in the years to come. Manhattan, as you know, is the culture hub, maybe of the arts in the world. It's up there with Paris and with London. We do have a very good facility in Paris, actually in the center of Paris, and now we will have in New York as well. So that is really very important in the future. So,
and we would acknowledge also government support for the Irish Repertory Theatre. Another great...
Very, very much so. And I was there, actually. I went to visit it when I was over there recently. And I must say that there's that wonderful connection there between it and even with the likes of John B. Keane, and other great playwrights from Ireland. But it's really a tremendous initiative. But certainly agreeing, that funding that we're given, it's manifested in the three main welfare centres. But also, there was some issues in New York with mental health of young immigrants. And I was delighted when I was in New York in October to meet with the welfare centres, the main people in the various centres, I must say, some really excellent people. And also, and with the GAA, and to get them to share a program on mental health, being administered now by Pieta House, who are involved in mental health services here in Ireland. And Pieta House now will work with them in obviously offering this service to people who need that service in New York, Irish people. So I'll be really monitoring and evaluating that program. So hopefully that it will be successful in reaching out to people who need help in New York, who may have some issues with homesickness, who may be isolated, who may be part of no network, who may have no friends, and for other reasons they get depressed or may bring depression with them from Ireland. So that program is going to be really very important, and I would like to urge all your listeners there to promote that program and to avail of it as well. Of course, that's very important, and to advise people if they know they're in challenged mentally in any way to use that program and the expertise of the people that will be giving that program as well. These will be top qualified people, highly qualified people, that have a proven record in this area of mental health, of counselling. So it's a very important program. So all of these programs coming together, be it support for mental health of the GAA or the ordinary running of the centres, and especially, I suppose, immigration advice, which some of the centres really put on very good programs to help.
The Lifeline, those immigrant support organizations have been a lifeline during very, very difficult times here, and I think most people would know that the Fáilte Ireland has for those, particularly in North America, is not reciprocated by virtue of the archaic and unforgivable laws here tied up with immigration.
It's quite exciting. And I'm sure that it will develop rapidly now in this year and the years ahead. And we've promised to review the policy in 2 years' time. And I would like this to be a work in progress. And also something that people can offer opinions on to the Department of Foreign Affairs. If people feel that there are certain things that we could do that's not included now in the strategy, in the policy, then I would like to get their views and suggestions because we can include them and it would make for a better connection with our diaspora.
Minister Jimmy Deanahan, in this very significant week, the launching of the new website, Global Irish Website. I want to thank you for spending the time with us. And there is a lot of follow-up, obviously. Great things happening. And indeed, we are excited and indeed welcome very much that in very short order, considering that you were handed this new ministry just in July of last year, that a lot of progress is being made, and indeed it is again it's important, I think, for us also not to be at just the receiving end of it, but to get involved and make sure that the message from Ireland is something that would be very significant for, obviously, for the diaspora, particularly for the marginalized, particularly for those who have not had an opportunity to stay in touch with Ireland. A lot of progress in that area, and like you say yourself, this is ongoing, and congratulations. We look forward to seeing you. We won't see you in New York for St. Patrick's Day, but indeed some of our listeners in Chicago would be happy enough to know that that's your assignment for this St. Patrick's Day.
That's right. So I have a huge number of friends in Chicago, and I'm opening a very interesting art exhibition in Chicago in the Arts Institute, and the title of the exhibition is Ireland at the Crossroad of the World in Art and Design, and it's a collection of furniture and other artistic material that was taken from Ireland between 1680 and 1840, and mostly in private collections, and now that's going to be put on exhibition. I understand about 300 pieces, and it's going to be, I suppose, one of the most extraordinary exhibitions of Irish art ever in the world, let me say. So it's really very exciting, and many of your listeners there in Chicago, the official opening actually will be on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, and everybody is invited to it. But it's going to really, I would say, reawakening examination of the level of craftsmanship and the extraordinarily high, I suppose, level of artistry that was in Ireland at that particular time. We were leaders of the world in design and in craftsmanship back then, and it's going to be very much reflected now in this exhibition in Chicago, so I'm really looking forward to being there and opening it and obviously seeing it.
So, Minister Jimmy Deanahan, let me tell you, you've brought us a lot of information, and it is indeed very appropriate that that this launch gets maximum exposure, and this is there's a lot of good news, and it's all this. Whereas for decades we talked about what might happen, this is not just something that is going to happen. It's happening right as we speak. I'm delighted to welcome you indeed to the program. And hey, friends, remember where you heard it first. Minister Jimmy Deanahan, I look forward to indeed having you continue to be what you're best at doing, and that is indeed connecting with the Irish diaspora and now the global Irish. Indeed is something that the Irish government has taken the bull by the horns, and it's going to be a rip-roaring success. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.